God's people said, amen. Amen. Man, I wasn't ready to quit yet. Amen. Man. Good to have you here today. This is the last hurrah for the school teachers and all the kids to get ready to go back to school. Can we get a big amen for that? Amen. Or oh me. Oh me, yeah. Oh me and an amen. Amen for the parents and oh me for the teachers and the kids, huh? No, I love school. Teachers didn't like me, but I liked it. It's always surprising how they all remembered me. Every time I started going back to ball games, it's like, oh, yeah, we remember you. So. No, I enjoyed school. I had a good time, I guess. So today we're going to continue in our series, Truths to Live Life On. We've been going through the parables, and I've thrown in a couple of stories and things like that. And today we're going to be talking about the Good Samaritan. Everybody, most of you have heard about the Good Samaritan and things like that. Very interesting story, very good story. And so we have our young children in here today with us, and so it's like corralling goats. And so that'd be all right, but hopefully they'll be familiar with this story. If they're not, you need to read it to them, okay? It's a good story. We've been talking about, as we go through the parables, you know, one week we talked about death, one week we talked about life. This week, I'm saying this parable mainly talks about compassion, and it talks about relationships. And when you look at this parable, it lays out the bottom line. And all through the scriptures, especially in the gospel, it sums Christianity up. And you'll hear this lawyer, he knew the right question to ask, as we're going to see, but he also knew the right answer. And so we're like him, most of us in here, we know the right question, we know the right answer, but sometimes we don't apply it. And so this is another one of those applicational messages you're going to see, and you're going to hear me kind of drive that home today. And so the title of the message is Who's My Neighbor? And most of us, if you've read the story, you realize who your neighbor is, okay? So this is not new news to you. For some it might be. But the thing of it is, it's an applicational thing, and that's what we're going to see. And that's where he missed it, and that's where most of us miss it. I think that's where the church is missing at today. I heard a pastor preach one time at a pastor's conference years ago, and he said, listen, if the church would do what Jesus Christ did, we'd have to stand outside with machine guns to keep people out. Amen? See, what's going on in the society today is this, is people are not rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting his church because so many of us don't look anything like him, okay? As we go through these parables, we have to understand it. Again, this is like a mirror, and it looks at ourselves. And it doesn't look at just the outside of us. It looks at the inside of us. It looks at our heart. And that's what the problem is. It's a problem of the heart. And so as we go through this parable, if we get into the man and the victim here, you're going to start thinking about, this is what I always think about, the guy sitting on the side of the road that, you know, it needs some help, and I drive on by. You know, so that's this. Let me put that image into your mind, and because that's what most of you are going to think when we get to the Good Samaritan, we get to the victim here. You're going to think about that. That's what I think about anyway. And so most of you will get there. So let's look at it here. In Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. And again, you know, as Jesus went around, they were testing him. They were trying to trip him up. They were trying to find some allegations to get rid of him. And this is kind of no different, I guess you'd say. It says, so on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And that's a good question. That's a good question. And then it goes in verse 26, and again, you know that Jesus usually answers a question with a question. He says, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? Verse 27, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so there again, what's the most important thing in life? If you don't understand this, let me tell you this. It's relationships. The most important thing in your life today is relationships. And if you don't know that, then listen, you hadn't had a lot of trials and tribulations. Because as you go through things and you go through things with people you love, you realize that's what life is about. It's about relationships, and that's what that says. Then he says there in verse 28, he said, you've answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. There's where we come in, okay? So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, and here goes the parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that's about a 17-mile trip is what most commentaries say. And it says, when he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. And so a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Remember, see how they just even moved out completely away from him. But then a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds and poured oil and wine. And then he put the man on his donkey and took him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper and looked after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And then in verse 36, here's Jesus' question. It says, which of these three do you think is a neighbor, was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the man who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, do what? Go and do what? Likewise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this text of Scripture here that's familiar to most folks. And God, we know the truths that it teaches, but God, we're living in an applicational world. And so it's not only good to know the truth that we have to have, that's knowledge, but acting them out and actually applying them to our lives, that's what you call wisdom. And so, God, let us leave here as wise people today. Because, God, there's going to be all kinds of victims that we run into, not next week, but we're going to run into them today. People that might need a handshake or a hug or a kind word or a smile. And God, help us to be you as we walk out through this world today, Lord. And it's not holier than thou. It's just living life and encouraging and loving people and trying to be kind and compassionate. God, help us learn that lesson today and let us apply it throughout our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. So look there in your opening. Is my life reaching out or in? It comes to a question about selfishness is what it is. You know, the problem today is the problem it has been since man has. It's more man looks after himself than he does after other people that care about him. And so Jesus Christ, as you go through the parables, you see he turns that upside down as he goes through the scriptures. He turns that upside down. And so life becomes more about other people than it does about ourselves. And so it's not natural because that flesh nature, it wants to make us think about ourselves and our family and our people and all these kind of things. Where Jesus is doing what? He's telling us that he wants us to do what? He wants us to reach out and to minister to other people and try to be a part of their lives. And so this parable, what it's really about, when you talk about the Good Samaritan, it's a parable about relationships is what it is. It's a parable about our relationships and what kind of relationship we have. And then it's a parable about caring for other people. It's so easy to be selfish in this world. It's so easy to be self-serving in this world, and it can come into play. But it's not anything like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a giver. Now, you've heard me say this before. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And so love is more than an emotion. I can't make you love me. I can't make you have that emotion. But love, a strong sense of love, is an action. You know, I can love people in action, even people that I don't agree with or I don't get along with, but I can still love them in action. And so that's what the Bible calls us. When we have these relationships, it's not just we have feelings for these people. It's we can perform actions, we can perform duties for these people, even though we might not know them. And it's living out love in everyday life. And so here we go in this scenario here. Jesus is being tested. He's being questioned here. And this parable about the Good Samaritan is an answer to a question a lawyer had. And he says, what must I do to have eternal life? Well, that's a good question. Everybody needs to ask that question in their life sometimes because why? It's the most important question you can ask. You know, what's going to happen to my soul? How can I have eternal life? And so all of us have to realize this, and you hear me say this quite often, every one of us are going to be alive in this room a million years from now, okay? A million years from now, all of us are going to be alive. And what we do with Jesus Christ determines whether we go to heaven or hell. And so that's an important question. What must I do? That's the question he's asking. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He's basically saying, you know, what must I do to go to heaven? And then he goes through and he answers his own question here. Jesus says, well, what do you think? You know, he's a lawyer. He's supposed to have the answers. He knows the law. You know, he lays it out. And then this way he says, here's something you ought to underline in your Bible in verse 27. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Now, you ought to underline that word all to go along with that. And it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so, again, it's talking about relationships. And he's saying that you need to do what? Your relationship needs to be all in. You need to be all in for this, okay? And so then he goes on, but then he wants to justify himself, and that's what we want to do. Well, you know, God, you know, Brother Nathan, you know, I love God. You know, I mean, I love him with my head and my heart and my soul. I love God. I'm all in for this. I'm saved. I'm into this eternal life thing, you know. But then what we do, like he does, we try to justify ourselves. And so the one part about loving God, that maybe we don't have a problem with that, but when it comes down to loving our neighbor, that's where the problem begins to come in, see. Because, see, sometimes our neighbor, we don't like him. We don't like the way he looks. He's not from the same neighborhood. He's not the same color. He's not the same social status. And so we just, you know, God don't always bring them to us, you know, dressed and clean. I mean, sometimes we have to get our hands dirty when it comes to ministry. And so a lot of times we don't like to do that in our lives, and that's what happens. And so the whole text of this is I've been laying out as we go through these parables, I've been giving you our main characters. Well, I guess you'd say the meat of this text this week, the main characters are going to be the meat, okay? So don't get to the, we're not going to get to the end and sum it all up. I'm going to do a little bit of that, but mainly it's through the characters here. So here's the first one. The first one is a lawyer, and we see him through verses 25 and 29. A lawyer's business is to interpret the law and guide people on what and how to apply it. And so this lawyer, he knew what the truth was, but he wasn't applying it to his life, as you see there in verse 28. What did it say? It says, he answered correctly. Jesus says what? And here's the word you need to underline, because this is really one of the most important things here. He says, do this and you will what? Live. He didn't say, know this and you would live. He didn't say, quote this and you would live. He says what? He says, do this and you will live. Now, that's the problem, because the problem is this. Don't none of us here love the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our strength and with all our minds, and we sure don't love our neighbors like that. So that's the problem. See, we can't do it all. We're not all in. We think we are, but we're not really all in. If we have that sin nature, it keeps pulling us back to that selfishness, and it's me. It's a me world. It's all about me world. And so he's saying what? Jesus is saying, he's saying, okay, you want to live by the law, then you do the law. You apply the law. But listen, can't any of us do that? And we have to understand that. So he had a dilemma here. So the law can only do what? The law can't save us. All it can do is point us to how our need for salvation. It shows us our need for a Savior. We don't need a lawyer. We need a Savior. And the best verse for that is Romans 3 and verse 19. I give you this verse all the time. You ought to turn to it. You ought to do some marking in your scriptures, because this is a very important verse, because these folks that are salvation by work folks, this really throws a left curve to them here, okay? Now here's Romans 3 and starting at verse 19. Here's some things you ought to underline. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Now when you get saved, you're brought from out from under the law, okay? Then it goes up, it says, and here's the reason for the law. It says, so that every mouth might be silent. Now, how does the law silence us? Because we can't live by it. How many laws do you have to break to be a lawbreaker?
One.
Anybody ever broke a law, you know? Is there any Ten Commandments you hadn't broke, you know? Yeah, I mean, all of us in here, what? We all, have anybody ever cussed? You know, anybody ever lied? You know, anybody ever stole anything? So we're lying, cussing thieves. All of us are. Amen? Amen? You know, hey, I ask that in jail all the time. You know, and everybody's like, well, you know, they hate to say it, okay? But we are. We're lying, cussing thieves as well. And you go through the rest of it, and hey, we're all of it, okay? I mean, all of us are broken. You say, well, I hadn't murdered anybody. Well, what did Jesus say? He says, if you say what? If you hate a brother from your heart, you commit racha. What does that mean? Hate someone. It means what? He says, it's like a murder, just like murder. You say, well, I've never committed adultery. It says, if you look upon a woman with lust, okay, it means you committed adultery. Or women, that goes for you too, okay? And so all of a sudden, if you go through the Big Ten, you think, man, lawbreaker, 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 okay? So what is he saying here? He's saying we're all guilty. So what he's saying, and that's what he's saying the law says. He says that every mouth might be silent and the whole world held, here's this word, accountable to God. And so what does it do? It says, I'm guilty, okay? I'm held accountable. But then in verse 20, it says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become, here we go, conscious of sin. He says, but now righteousness, now here's the antidote, here's the answer. But now the righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the laws and the prophets testify. He says in verse 22, this righteousness from God comes through faith. Here's how to be saved. Here's how to get out from under the law. It says this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's a condition, and it says all who believe. And there is no difference. And then he goes into about Jews and Gentiles and all those kind of things. So what am I saying here? He's saying what? Only our faith, the only salvation that we have, it can't be given to us by the law. All the law does is show our guilt. What gives us salvation, what brings us into eternal life is what? It's our faith in Jesus Christ. And it says all who believe in Jesus Christ there. And so the lawyer, what it's saying here is the lawyer is not what we need in life. What we need is a Savior. Because why? Because that's the only one that can save us. We need a Savior. And we have to understand that. So the lawyer asked this question. And so a lot of this is about the lawyer and his question he asked. But then Jesus goes in, and again, he begins to answer this question with a question. And then he gets into this parable. The next person we see is the priest. And you see that in verse 31. He says, and a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. How many times have you done that? You know, what's this? He's a man in need. He's a person that has a problem, you know, and so we pass by on the other side. And so we can kind of identify with the priest here. I mean, he's going down the road here. So what we have the idea here, the priest and the Levite also. is that they'd been serving in the temple. Man, and so a lot of times, you know, they would get picked, and when they got picked, their number came up. They'd either serve a week, or sometimes they'd serve a month. And so he's been away from home. Let's give him a month. Let's give him the benefit of that. We say he's been away from home for a whole month, okay? And now he's going home. I mean, he's bought some teddy bears for his kids, you know, and he's got some chocolate for his wife, and he's strolling down, you know, the road, and all of a sudden here comes this guy on the side of the road. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. I ain't got what? Time for him. See, ever said that about anybody, you know, in life, you know? I ain't got, ever had that cell phone, that name pop up and say, not today, psst, you know, put it back in your pocket? Amen? Not today. I know what they want, because anytime they call me, it's always a what? There's always a problem. They want something, okay? They want something from me. And I hadn't got time to give him what he needs. And I don't want to deal with that person today, okay? And so he did what? He passed by on the other side. And so he did what? He had done his daily duties. He had put his time into the church, man. I mean, he'd come and he'd serve in the temple. I mean, he'd lit the candles. He might have kept the yard. He might have, you know, cleaned out a few bowls. He did his priestly duties. He had done his deal. I mean, he came to church, you know. He threw a few dollars in the offering plate. He even taught life group. And, man, he even might have saved. Sang in the praise team. And so, man, I ain't got time. I mean, I did what I did for God here. I don't really want to do it out there. But see, the problem with that is this. It's the same problem the church is. See, the problem with the church is Jesus never said, come and see. He said what? Go and tell. See? So what we're in here to do, we're preparing to go and tell the world what Jesus tells us to do. And so we don't just necessarily do it here, and that's where most people say they do church at. What we do, we're to do it out there. And see, they had the same problem that the church does today. They were doing too much in here, but not enough out there. But we should be doing both, see. And so what we understand, and so what we can give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, when you're riding down the road and you see somebody stopped on the side of the road and their hood's up and everything, you know, you look them over and you think, what? Man, that guy could be trouble, you know. And so I'm protecting myself. I've got a family. I mean, I've got, you know, I mean, I don't want to, I mean, it could be a trap. I mean, this guy, he might not have anything wrong. He might just be scheming, okay? And he just gets me pulled over and knocks me in the head, takes what I have and gets off. And, you know, and I'll be I'll be in the State Gazette tomorrow and saying, well, a good Samaritan, ever seen that? A good Samaritan tried to help someone, but what? They were taken advantage of. Well, let me tell you what. Let me go ahead and size it up for you. If you're a good Samaritan, you will be taken advantage of. But some of you, your whole life is this, is nobody's going to get it over on me, you know. Well, see, that's a sad way to live, because what happens with that kind of a lifestyle is this, is you let a lot of people that need help go by the wayside because you don't want to be taken advantage of, okay? I'm not, you know, let somebody else do it. I mean, I'm not going to be taken. So, you know, you get to the end of your age and say, man, nobody's got it over on me. Well, let me tell you what, I can't say that about myself. You know, can't say that about myself. I know there's some people who's taking advantage of me in my lifetime. Because why? Because I want to be a giver. I want to be a helper. I want to be that good Samaritan. And so it's going to happen sometimes. But you know what? This is my motto. If they can go home and go to bed and sleep at night, I can too. Amen? Because I did what I knew was the right thing to do. If I help you financially, if I help you a physical way, whatever I do, listen, I did it for his glory, not for mine. And so if I can go home and I did it for him, so whatever I did what God called me to do. Now, if you can take advantage of that, that's fine. Let you do it, you know. I mean, you know, you got to be able to live with that. But I don't have to, because I did the right thing. And that's what the Good Samaritan did. He did the right thing. But the priest didn't do the right thing. He just kind of went on his little merry way, and he didn't take his religion. He didn't take it outside of the temple, okay? And so that's what happened. So what did he do for his neighbor? This is what he did for his neighbor. It's what most people do. They did nothing. He did nothing for his neighbors, what happened. And that's what the law can do for our souls. It can do nothing. And that's what religion can do. It can do nothing. See, I can read the Bible, and I can know what the Bible says, but if I don't apply the Bible, then it means nothing. Love, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, love is the answer to the problems of the world. Not only my love for God, but also my love for other people. That's what the world needs. It needs a sense of love. In religion, all it does is know the rules and regulations, but it doesn't add the love to it. And that's where true Christianity comes in. Then we get into the Levite. You see him here in verse 32. He's kind of a follower of the priest here. He kind of helps the priest here. And so in verse 32, it says this. It says, and so too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So the priest had got over on him. He taught him well, and he told him what to do. You know, hey, man, don't worry about those folks. You know, just kind of go on. You know, our duty's in the temple, so we don't worry about the folks outside of the temple. So he'd learn well. And so here they were assistants of the priest in the temple. And two, he knew the law, but he couldn't make him compassionate. And so what was his pride? What was his problem? Pride and apathy. That's the pride. I mean, that's the problem in the world today. It's not only the problem with this Levite and priest. It's the same problem in the church today. We have a sense of pride, who we are. Most people outside the church see this as a country club. And they're not welcome here. They don't think they're welcome here. And then what happens with the church is we have a sense of apathy. We just don't care. You know, I got a sign out front that says Mount Vernon, man. Got the Times. I mean, you know, we got it in the paper. You know, you want to come? Come on. You know, but now if I have to go get you, I ain't doing that now. I mean, you got a sense of responsibility yourself. You ever told yourself that? They got a sense of responsibility. But see, the problem is the Bible don't say that. Again, the Bible don't say come and see. The Bible says go and tell. And so as we go and tell people, we're doing what? We're saying you're welcome here. We want you here. We care about you. You matter to us. That's what the world needs. The world needs people in it that says what? You matter to me. Because so much of the world says, I don't care about you. I don't care about you. And that's what happens sometimes. And so we can see it lived out here in the priest, and we can see it lived out here in the Levite's life. And so Jesus is pointing out here that Jesus is pointing out that religion and the law are not the answers to the problems of man. And so we can't rely on those things. The Bible is not just the answer to man if it's only read. It has to be applied and go out. And so who do we see that example in? Well, we see it into the third person, the Good Samaritan. We see it in the Samaritan. Listen to what it says here. Notice how many verses he gets. He gets 33 through 35. He goes on, it says, but the Samaritan, he says, as he traveled, came where the man was. So he saw where the man was, and he came where he was. And when he saw him, he took what on him? Pity. I mean, who do you pity? You know, sometimes for us, that's a nasty word. Oh, I pity him. But it wasn't that kind of a pity. It was a gracious type of pity. Oh, someone with a problem. Someone with a need. Now, that's where you hang your cell phone up. That's where you go the other way. Oh, I didn't see them. I didn't see that. You know, that's kind of where. But he didn't do that. He did what? He says he took pity. And then his pity, that's where a lot of people are at. See, a lot of people, they get to this point, they take pity on people. Oh, I feel sorry for them. You know, I feel sorry for them. I mean, I wish there was something I could do. Well, usually there is. There's something you can do. And then he goes on, he says what? He says what he said. He took pity on him. And then he goes on, he says, he went to him and he bandages his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Now, here's what you need to understand here. We're going to see it cost him something. See, a lot of people, they have pity on someone, but that's where it stops because why? They don't want to cost them anything. So it says what? He put on bandages. He put on wine and oil, and that was costly in those days. That was something that was costly. So he did all that for him, okay? And then he said he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. Now, let me tell you this. When he put him on his donkey, that meant he did what? He had to lead the donkey, so that meant he had to do what? He had to walk, you know. So it would be like pulling up beside somebody, their car broke down, and saying, hey, man, I know you've got an important date on. You just take my car, and I'll wait on somebody to pick me up. You just take my car, okay? Anybody want to do that? No, man, you're crazy, Brother Nathan. Well, that's what the priest and the Levite thought. Look at that Samaritan. Man, that guy's nuts. He's going to get knocked in the head doing what he's done. But what happened was, his common sense left him when he took pity on this person, and he did what? He began to lay it out. Now, what's going to happen? We're all going to get down here about Dr. Pepper plant. There's going to be somebody parked on the side of the road, and I might have planted them, okay? And then we're going to see who's going to stop, okay? But if you get knocked in the head, don't blame me, okay? So I might not. But anyway, so the Good Samaritan would. But what we have to understand about the Good Samaritan, it says he took pity on him, and it says, well, he put him on his donkey, and then he walked him to the inn. It says, and then he don't stop there now. He'd done a whole lot more than the priest, the Levite, so he could have, I mean, he'd done a good deed. He could have moved on down the road, okay? But listen, he goes to the next level. He's in the next level. It says, the next day he took 2 silver coins, and most translations, that means 2 days' pay. Can you think about that now? Well, think about this. Now, he's done, spent a little money on him already. He puts him on his donkey, and we don't know, the road's 17 miles, and we don't know how far it is, so we're going to say about halfway, and so at least he might have walked, you know, 7-8 miles, you know, 10 miles, okay, and had him on his donkey. And now he gets there, and the next day he gets up, and so his compassion hadn't left him. You know, about that time, most people are like, well, man, I've done enough. You know, I mean, this innkeeper, he can do his part too. But the next day he does what? He gets up, and he says what? He says he took out 2 silver coins. Well, think of that, two days' pay. It says, and gave them to the innkeeper, okay, and he says what? Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. He says, you do whatever he needs to get needs to be done to him. Now, let me tell you what. That is compassion. That is caring. That's going the extra mile, okay? For some people, what they think is the world, they think, well, that's foolish. See? That's foolish. I did my part. I mean, I helped him out, and I'm going to go on. But see, what he did, see, Jesus is giving an example here. And the biggest thing is who he's using as the hero. And that's what we're going to get to next. And he talks about the Samaritan. Now, why does he use the Samaritan? Well, if you know about Luke, we believe, is the only Gentile that wrote in the New Testament. Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of what? Anybody know? Acts, right. And we know that he wrote about the same time. And so here he is, he's a Gentile. And so here he is, he comes and he uses to someone that he knows is hated by the Jews. And it's a Samaritan. Now, what a Samaritan was is someone that they had intermarried, okay? They were a Jew and had intermarried with another race, and that was taboo for the Jews, and so they wasn't pure Jews, okay? Remember, we went through Rahab, and we talked about her and all that, and how they were hated. You know? Well, the Samaritan was hated, and so here Luke is. Here he's a Gentile, and he's doing what? He's bringing this story up at Jesus', and he's putting what? He's putting a Gentile, he's putting this Samaritan in good light, okay? And so what is it? He makes him the hero of the story. And he knew that because he knew that the Jews hated him. And the lawyer that Jesus was dealing with, remember, he is a Jew. And so now he has to bring him to conclusion, you know. Can he bring him to conclusion? He's got to bring him to the conclusion. Even a Samaritan can do something that's good. And so he was a Jew. And he was and the Samaritan was an outcast. But he did what? He helped this man. And probably this man, we don't know this for sure, but this man was probably a Jew. And so what he was doing is Jesus was showing this lawyer that this Samaritan, someone that the Jews hated, he was probably helping someone which was probably a Jew, and he was doing what? He was doing something that he wouldn't even think about doing. He wouldn't get his hands dirty, okay? The priest wouldn't get his hands dirty. The Levite wouldn't get his hands because it would make them unclean to touch someone like that, and they couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't go worship, okay, because they were unclean. But not the Samaritan. He looked past all those things. He looked past religion, and he showed compassion, and he showed empathy for this person, and he reached down and cared for this person. So what do we see here? We see someone, the hero of the story, as a very unlikely hero because why? Because of his background, but how he reached out and how he cared for that person. And then the last one is this. We see the priest, and we see the Levites, and see how they represent religion. And then we see the Samaritan, we see how he represents true Christianity and really what we should be, the mirror that we see in Jesus Christ. But then we have the next one here, we have the fifth one, and we see the man. And we know, and the thing of it is, the very interesting thing is this, is it doesn't say anything about the man. We really don't know that he's a Jew. It doesn't really say anything about the man. You know why it doesn't say anything about the man? Because it doesn't really matter. I mean, you get that, don't you? That's the whole lesson of who my neighbor is. It doesn't matter who it is because everybody is your neighbor. Anybody that's in need is your neighbor. And so it doesn't say anything about the man because, well, it doesn't matter who the man is. It doesn't say he's a Jew or he's a Gentile, he's rich or he's poor. It doesn't say anything about him. It says the man. It doesn't even give his name. It says the man. Because why? Look at how the man is seen in the world. Well, the world, to the robber, he was a target that they were after him. They were wanting his money. And that's what the world sees people. They're just a target. How can I get something from you? And then to the priest and the Levite, he was a problem. If they wanted to move over to the other side and go around and just avoid it and get past it, okay? And that's what the law does. The law just kind of, it shows us the problem, but it doesn't do anything about the problem, see? But then the last one is this Samaritan. And what did he do? He was the neighbor to this man. He was the one that had compassion. He was the one that cared. And what is that? That's true Christianity, see? So true Christianity doesn't look anything like the world, okay? Because we're not targeting people, okay? It doesn't look anything like the law because what? We see the problem, but we do something about the problem. What true Christianity does, what? It's identified with the Samaritan because what? It sees a need and it sees the problem, but it doesn't pass it by. It begins what? It begins to involve itself in that situation, involve itself in that problem, and becomes part of the solution, not part of the problem. And so what we have to do today is we can look at it as we can do it as a faith. We can do it. We can say, is this about Christianity? You know, yes. We can say it as a denomination. Is this about Baptist? Yes. You know, we can look at this from a church standpoint. Was this about Mount Vernon Baptist Church? Yes. You know, but see, we want to bring it in a little closer than that. You know, I always do. I want to bring it into right where this is about me. See, this is about me. You know. I want to bring it into where it's about you and it's about me. Because why? Because I want to know what I would do in that situation. Because, see, I'm going to be given that opportunity also just like you are. See, I'm going to be around people that have a need. I'm going to be given an opportunity to be a neighbor to somebody also just like you are, see. And so what's the purpose of the story? Well, the purpose of the story is one thing, is to be a neighbor. But what he says there in verse 37, he says, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So Jesus ends with a question. He says what? He says, which one of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law, man, he had the answers. He says what? He says, the one who had mercy on him. Right again. Jesus asked him, you know, what he asked Jesus, what must you do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, what's written in the law? He gives him the right answer. Jesus goes to the parable. He says, now what's your answer? And he gives him the right answer. So he knew the what? He knew the answers, but the problem was found by comparing verse 28. It says, you've answered correctly. Jesus replied, but he says what? Do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. What Jesus is telling us and what I'm saying today is listen, true Christianity is not a know-it faith. It's a do-it faith. It's a move outside of my comfort zone. It's a faith of compassion. It's a faith of caring for people. And that's what true Christianity is. And so God was teaching the lawyer about grace and mercy and compassion. And he was teaching him about true faith, something the law could not do. Only thing the law could do was show him how uncompassionate and how uncaring and how unmerciful he is. But see, grace does what? Grace says what? It shows us this. It causes us to see all men as our neighbor and be willing to help them without asking who they are or where they come from. See, that's what true Christianity is. And so the story of the Good Samaritan teaches us that the only way to reach the world is to do what? It's to reach out. It's not to reach in. See, we're good at that. We're reaching in. We'll help each other, see. But it's a sense of reaching out. And so what am I talking about? I'm talking about applied truth. I'm talking about knowing what the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan says. And we all, most of us in here know that. We get the point. I mean, it's not very hard to see who was the hero, the Samaritan, because why? Because he actually helped someone. And now the whole application is we're to go and do likewise. We're to go and do likewise. Because why? Our going and doing likewise doesn't save us, but it shows us that we are saved. See, the world is needing to see authentic Christianity. That's what the problem with the world is. It's not seeing authentic Christianity. But as we go and apply the truths of this scripture, the truths of this parable, then the world will do what? It'll begin to see what? It'll see true faith. Now, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, it didn't take me long to figure out what verse I want to come up. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I want you to underline this. Look this on your phone. Highlight this. Write it down. Because this is something you need to understand here. This is something you need to get. John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. This is not something new that most of you hadn't heard before, but I think it sums up what we need to understand as a church. John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35, you need to highlight this in your Bible. And here Jesus comes. Here he comes. He says, a new command I give you. A new command. So this is important. He's saying, man, a new command I give you. What does he say here? He says what? He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Now where's that new command at? I mean, love one another. We've seen that. Love one another. And then he goes on. But here's what I want to point out in verse 35. It's loving one another. He says in verse 35, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. So the thing is this. The question today is this. How does people know you? Oh, they know you because you get up every Sunday morning and get in your vehicle and drive to a building, and then you come home and you don't act or, do anything any different than they do. Is that how they know you, I mean, how do people know you? If I went to where you worked or where you went to school and I asked them about you and they said, oh, they go to church? Man, I didn't know that, Oh, they believe in, they're Christian. Oh, I didn't know that, It should be what, listen, that should be what should be known about us the most. Is there something different about them? They're caring. They're compassionate. They're willing to help. They're always. It's like they're always willing to lend a helping hand here. That's what we should be known as a church. That's what we should be known as a person. Because why? It says what? A new commandment I give you: love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, what all men will know that you are my disciples. If I love you, if you love one another. If we're ever going to change the world, it's going to be done one way. It's going to be done through love. Well, I mean, you can get out there and you can protest things. And I mean, I'm against, I could preach a lot of things I'm against, okay? It's real easy to do that in the times we're living in right now, okay? And there's times we have to take a stand for things, okay? No problem. But let me tell you what, we'll never win the world to Christ with that method. The way we win the world to Christ, the way we win our neighbor to Christ, the way we win our schoolmate, or the way we do our working partner, how we win them is one way, and we do that through love. We do it through compassion and caring. Because why? People don't care how much you know until they what? Know how much you care. That's the truth. It's not scripture, okay? But I think it applies. People don't care how much you know, okay, until they know how much you care. And then when they know how much you care, people are willing to listen to you then. And that's the only time people are listening to you. And we have to understand it. And so we do what? Here it is. We have to be known for our love. And so Jesus' question to us today is this. It's found over in verse 36 again. This is Jesus' same question to us. He says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? And he said, you know, which one? Well, I guess my battery ran out. Is that right? Well, I guess that's in. I mean, I guess I went too far. Man, the clock ain't even up there no more. Man, I've got all kind of time. Let me pull something over here a little closer. Every time something like this happens, I always think about Harold. Harold, can you hear me? If Harold can hear me, everybody else can. I just know that. Okay, so, but let's not lose out here. Jesus' question is this. Look at what he says there in verse 36. He says, which of these three do you think it was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? Well, I mean, all of us know the answer to that, don't us? We have even the young kids in here this morning, and they know the answer to that. It was the Samaritan. You know, he was the one. He was the one. But what he says, he asks us that same question. But then he goes on in verse 37. He says, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And that's what the truth is. And then Jesus tells us, just like he told him, he says what? He says, go and do what? Likewise. So if we're going to call ourselves the church, that means something. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, that means something. And if we're going to call ourselves that, we need to be looking like that and what we need to do. And the only way we can look like that is we go and do likewise. And so we have a choice. Now we can be part of the problem or we can be part of the solution. Which one are you going to be? And I'm talking about Christianity. I'm talking about the world. We can be part of the problem, which just goes their merry way and takes care of themselves, or we can be part of the solution. It does what? It reaches out and tries to help other people in their time of need. And so what I'm saying is this, is that we need to understand when it comes to faith, we can either talk about it or we can live it out day by day. Now, what kind of person are you? Are you a person that has a big talk, you know? You talk, oh, man, I'm a Christian. You wear a big chain around your neck with a cross, and you got an I Love Jesus bumper sticker on your car and all those things, you know. But that's as far as it goes. That's as far as it goes. So you're just doing temple time, okay? You're not really showing compassion. No, you're just doing temple time. Or we can do what? We can be somebody that truly walks in the faith. And the only way you can do that is when you minister to the people and reach out and take care of them and help other people that have a need in your life. And so we have to understand that. So in closing, ask yourself this. Who are you in this parable? Well, who am I in this parable? Well, am I like the lawyer where all I have is a bunch of questions to ask? You know, maybe you're here this morning and you need to ask the question. You know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's a good question. That's a good question. And you've come to the right place because why? Because I have the answer. Because what the Bible says is what? You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins. And you have to confess Him as your Lord and your Savior. And when you do that, the Bible says that you'll be saved. And that's what getting eternal life is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So have you ever done that, you know? Listen, it's not just enough to know the answer. It's also you have to apply it. So has there ever been a time in your life where you've done that? We call it salvation. Jesus called it being born again. Has there ever been a time that you've done that? So that's a good question to ask, okay? So some of you in here this morning, you're lawyers, and you're looking for that answer, and maybe it's spelled out to you here today. But some of you, what the thing is you're the priest and the Levite, and that's the religious folks. That's the folks that just come to the temple. We call it church today. They just kind of come and light the candles and take up the offering and sing a few songs and maybe help around the church a little bit, you know. But when they go out, they just kind of live like everybody else does with this apathy, no compassion, no mercy, no grace, nothing. Just kind of do their own thing, you know. Or maybe today that you're here and you're the Samaritan, that you say, well, Brother Nathan, you know, I don't really know that. I do apply that. I do step up. I do try to help people. I am compassionate. I do have mercy. Well, good for you. You know, good for you. Good for our church. You know, our church does that in certain times, you know. I mean, good for our denomination. Good for Christianity, because we do that at certain times. And we should. And that's how the world should know us. Or maybe here today you might be the victim and you have a need in your life, you know. All of us do some way. Sometimes it might be a physical need. We have some folks in here that have some very complicated situations when it comes to physical things. They've got some bad reports. They're going through some very difficult times now. Well, that's when the church is supposed to step up, and we do what? We can pray for them, and we can love them. We can care about them. We can make sure that they know that as they go through this, that they're not alone in this, that we care about them. There's some people here that need that not only have that, they have some spiritual needs, that they're battling, that they feel themselves drifting away and they have doubts in their lives and things like that. Well, that's what we're here for as a church also. We're here to help you and get you plugged in and get you grounded and make sure that you are saved and you have a saving faith and it's growing. That's what we're here for, you know. And maybe there's some here that have some relationship problems and, you know, you're going through a divorce or you're having some difficulty with your kids or things like that, you know, and you need some help in that. And you have some people that come alongside you and just kind of give you a hug and say, here, I'm here for you. And you call me and you talk to me anytime you need to because, I mean, I care about you and I want to show compassion for you, you know, okay? And so many people, you know, have needs in their lives. And that's what the church is. The church is a family. What do I tell people in jail? Why do they need to come to church? Because the church cares about them. And Jesus put us together because he knew what? We needed relationships because that's what the most important thing in life is. And we needed people that really feel like that we're cared for and that they're going to be there for us. And when we have a problem in our life, they're not going to walk away from us. They're going to walk to us and help us in our time of need. Isn't that what you want? You know, isn't that what you want? That's what I want. That's what all of us want. That's all of us need. And that's what the church is supposed to be. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I part of the problem where I just kind of walk out and do my own thing and I just kind of show up here once a week, you know? Or am I part of the solution where I'm really acting like the church and I'm really truly seeing, I don't only know the truth, I'm really applying it to my life. And not just to the people in the church, but everyone that God brings by me that sees themselves as a victim and needs some help. And so the lesson to learn today is this: true faith reaches down and out. And if you're going to be a true Christian, if you're going to really have your faith and you're going to really be what the church is supposed to be, you're going to have to reach down. Because sometimes that's where people are out. And then you're going to have to reach out because people need your help. And then the application today is God puts victims all around us. God puts victims all around us. Most of the world sees themselves as a victim. I do at times. You do at times. We all see it. And so we're doing what? When we find those people in life that are really victims and need our help, we're to do what? We're to be there for them. And so what's the answer? What does Jesus say? He tells us there right at the end. He says, go and do what? Likewise. So we got a choice to make. You say, well, Brother Nathan, I heard that. I got that. I understand. But see, all you do is you're just like the lawyer. You just heard the truth. But true Christianity does what? It applies the truth. And for us to be called really the church, what we have to do is we have to begin to apply it. And let me tell you what God's going to do. God's going to bring to you this week, or maybe today even, he's going to bring somebody in your life that really needs you and needs a helping hand. And then you have an opportunity where you're going to step up or step away. And that says something, that says a lot about your faith and who you are as a Christian. Let's take that opportunity this week and do what? Step up and step out and say, here I am. I'm here for you. I want to have compassion. I want to care about you. And when we do that, we'll show them what true Christianity is. And then that's how they'll know us, by the love that we show them. Amen? Let's pray. That wasn't me. Alan, I'm just about through, brother, okay? I mean, everybody look at Alan back. He just wants to be noticed. Wave at us. That's the guy that's doing it, okay? He feels neglected. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for a scripture like this. Something as simple as the Good Samaritan, Lord, brings us to a point of life that where we really have to look inside of ourselves and see if we're really being authentic of who you are. It's easy to play church. It's easy to put on a mask and just kind of walk in here and walk out and just kind of live a life like the rest of the world. But God, when we see what true Christianity looks like, God, it's what we need and it's what other people around us need. And so let us be truly faithful to you this week as we go out and we reach down and we reach out and we minister to the people you bring in our paths this week, the people that truly need help and need a helping hand. Let us be Christ as we go out and serve you this week. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, the day can be the day of your salvation. You just come down forward here to time of invitation and you tell me you need to be saved and I'll show you exactly what you need to do to be saved today. Or maybe today you're here and you need some help. You are a victim. You've got some physical problems or relationship problems or some spiritual problems or you've got some things that you're going through in your life and you want me to pray with you or for you or Mark to pray with you or for you. Or maybe you just need to come and kneel down at the altar and ask God to help you in a situation that you're going through this week. You know, God will do that, you know. But this end time of invitation is from God to you and you to God because why? He's reaching down to you. And maybe you need to leave something here at the church today. Maybe it's some of your problems here. And knowing that God's with you and he can help you through those situations. Whatever your need is, you come, okay?
Y'all can have a seat real quick if you would. We've got a few things that I kind of want to go over real quick before we dismiss. Number one, tonight is going to be 5:30. We're continuing our I Am series. And Dr. Ken Lewis is going to be here with us. He and I both went through the master's program and the PhD program together. So spent a lot of time with him in a classroom. Very, very godly, humble man that God is using in a great way. Really powerful testimony about what he and his family went through with his daughter and just some of the struggles that they faced. So I'm really excited about him being here. That's going to be 5:30 tonight, so make sure that you make that a priority. Base Camp Kids, we're going to kick that off, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. So that's when we're going to have the big giant party out here. We'll have the Shave Ice Bar and the whole nine yards, so make sure that you're there for that. Again, if you're interested in adopting a graduate, adopting a senior that is going to college this fall, there's a sign-up sheet on the coffee bar. Just give me your name. I'm going to try to spread that out so that you're not responsible for that student all year. You know, but if I get enough people that I can give you a name and some information on that student, and you can just love on that student while they're gone, while they're, you know, at college or whatever, and you can send them a package or a card or a gift card or something along that line just to let them know, hey, I love you, I'm grateful for you, I'm thankful, you know, for you, and just remind them, you know, that their church still loves them. So that's a big ministry that I'd really like to see go well.